Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's move away from the negotiations over the debt ceiling for a moment and look about negotiations over labor contracts. Negotiations between Chrysler and the UAW, the United Auto Workers Union, started on Monday. And this is a ritual that happens every few years. We're expecting the UAW to sit down with the other big two later on. But Paul Eisenstein joins us, publisher of the website, thedetroitbureau.com. You know, Paul, like I said, this happens every few years. What makes the stakes so much higher this time?
Well, there's a lot of things going on here. For one thing, we have two of the three automakers emerging from bankruptcy, as Chrysler and GM did in 2009. Ford avoided the bankruptcy route, but borrowed deep. And all three of these makers really have to make sure that they come out of the negotiations with affordable labor costs. And by that, I mean costs that they can keep competitive with the transplant operations, Honda, Toyota, VW, all these makers all over North America that are now basically setting the benchmark for what labor can expect to be paid making cars in North America. The interesting thing, Celeste, is that the UAW has as much to risk this time as the automakers do.
You know, Paul Eisenstein, correct me if I'm wrong, but everything I read about the contract negotiations leading up to some of these bankruptcies and deals was that the UAW had already made concessions in both benefits and pay that put them basically on par with Toyota and Honda.
Very close to it. In 2006, the automakers were paying their workers in wages and benefits about $76 an hour. That's been cut to somewhere just north of $50 an hour, which is roughly on par. Ford, because it didn't go bankrupt, didn't get all the concessions and says it pays a few dollars more, which makes it non-competitive. The challenge will be to keep the cost down, to keep improving productivity and quality, but at the same time find a way to help workers get a share of the benefits as these makers turn around. And the reality is they have been showing signs of that. Ford last year, for example, $6.6 billion, of which they rewarded their workers with about $5,000 in profit sharing. And what we expect is that we'll probably see labor costs hold about the same, but the big change will probably be in the form of big new profit-sharing programs.
And what you're talking about is as the UAW watches these profits rise, and as you've also said, they've been pretty healthy for all three of the big three. Traditionally, the UAW has looked to gain back some concessions when the automakers become a little more stable, and that may happen this time.
Well, don't expect it. Don't expect it to be coming back in terms of added dollars. If anything, you may see, in some cases, some additional concessions and maybe shifting around where the dollars go to. Maybe some new co-pays in terms of medical costs, which will mean a few dollars more in the paycheck, for example. And, of course, these profit-sharing programs. The key is that this time both sides clearly understand that they're in this together. And one of the things that they understand is, by holding down labor costs, they can bring back jobs. That's the critical thing for the UAW, which is now less than one quarter the size of what it was at its peak in 1979.
And the future of the UAW may not lie with the big three as it did in the past. Paul Eisenstein, publisher of thedetroitbureau.com. Thanks so much, Paul.
Good to be with you, Celeste.